You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, joined once again by Chris Atterbury of the Twins Radio Network and also of the Twins Caravan. Chris is out there with that group, bouncing around 40 communities in four different states over the course of 2 weeks. It's a major adventure the Twins put on every year. It's really cool thing, one of those old school kind of caravans. You don't need who needs a stinking fan fest when the Twins can come to you. They go to the full extent of their territorial area. It's pretty cool. Chris, you're out there with Paul Molitor and the gang. First of all, first impressions of I know as we're talking here, you're in Cedar Falls, Iowa. First impressions of how the caravan's being received and what people are saying about the Twins here this offseason.
Yeah, I think people are pretty excited. You know, we kicked it off yesterday, and we kind of stayed in the Twin Cities. And for the 75 years in a row, there's this original St. Paul baseball old-timers group that's been meeting in the back of a bar for 75 years, and they have a big banquet. And St. Paul is the biggest city that's an actual small town in the world. And these guys go back hundreds of years together playing ball. And they put 500 people in the room, and when they saw one of their own and Paul Molitor up at the head table and Joe Mauer was with us, and Perk Bean from just next door in Stillwater, they were very excited. It's almost as if, you know, that it's a piece of each one of them is going to be managing the Twins. And it's been really neat. And, you know, Paul's such an interesting guy. His resume speaks for himself, but he's such an interesting guy to listen to answer questions. Because, you know, you're getting a lot of random questions from kids asking him what his favorite book is or if he has a pet, you know, to people asking about prospects or people asking about you know, other teams in the division. And he's a really thoughtful guy, a real smart guy, and that really comes out in these face-to-face sessions. And I think the whole theme, if you were going to encapsulate it, is we're done worrying about the past and talking about the past, and we're really excited about controlling what we can control today and looking ahead to try to do that every day over 162.
So does he have a pet or not? That's what we need to know.
You know, he does not have a pet. Glenn Perkins, however, won the day with the elementary crowd because of his new Labradoodle, Harry Potter.
Oh, okay. That'll get you in good graces with little kids, that's for sure.
I can also report that Paul did not necessarily have a favorite character from Frozen, but that Glenn Perkins went with Olaf.
Ah, that's also a good choice, see? And I'm sure many of those communities you're visiting are frozen as well. I saw Molitor actually said, you know, the way the Timberwolves and Wild, the way things are going for them, the Twins are a particularly great source of optimism right now. But, you know, and you mentioned he's a thoughtful guy. I know he's kind of a forward-thinking guy when it comes to the way the game is played these days with infield shifts. I know he was a big part of that last season, implementing those and using those. What are your thoughts, Chris, on what Paul Molitor brings to the table as a manager here?
Well, I think he brings a couple things. One is he is a forward-thinking guy, and he's not going to be boxed into any one particular way of doing things. He's never going to be a guy who says, you know, that's how it's always been done. If you look even at his playing career, he played for a lot of different types of guys in a lot of different styles. And so I think that's big. I think he has instant credibility with players young and old alike, based on just what he did as a player. I don't think there's any way you can look at that as a young player and not stop and listen. And he's a guy who is confident enough in himself and who he is and what he thinks to take input from any of a wide variety of people and not be threatened by it. And I think that's a critical skill in the modern game for a manager. You know, a lot of people will tell you that it's become a general manager's league, and you've got, you know, managers who are beholden to what the front office wants them to do. And if you look at the great managers in the game, and I think that, you know, Bruce Bochy's one of those guys, Terry Francona is one of those guys, Joe Maddon's one of those guys. They're all guys who are able to listen and to take input and mix and match it with their own ideas and not to ever be threatened by that input and then to go out and put that into practice while maintaining credibility with their players. And you know, people like to make an old school, new school divide, which I think is a lot of that is creation. But if you look at the great managers today, they're kind of a combination of that old school, in the clubhouse baseball man, understand the new school idea of bringing some new thoughts into that room, and I think Paul can do that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think, you know, teams at this stage, they don't want a dictatorial presence in the manager's seat, but they also don't want a puppet either. They want a guy they can collaborate with, and it certainly seems that the Twins, Terry Ryan, has that with Paul Molitor. I look at this as a big year for Terry Ryan. You know, he's put a stamp on this team again at this point, coming back into the general manager's role, and he's made the change at manager. He's gone out there again and invested heavily in free agency. And you know, again, we kind of touched on this last week, Chris, but just your overall sense of how Terry Ryan has handled things this winter, knowing the Twins again had some needs in the rotation, especially.
You know, I think all of us who are around Terry on a regular basis, the beauty of Terry Ryan, and, you know, I'm out here with Glenn Perkins, and Perkins is a guy who was drafted by Terry. He's known Terry since he was a little kid and can speak to it from a player's perspective. There's just a universal respect for Terry, because Terry will tell you, I disagree, I agree, I think you're right, I think you're wrong, here's what I'm doing, here's what we did well, here's what we didn't do well. And you always know exactly where you stand with him. And I think that's all you want in any line of work. And so Terry knows there's work to be done, but I also believe that Terry feels very strongly about the idea that if you continue to grind away at something the right way, it works. It pays dividends, and he's seen it work before. And he also puts a lot of trust in people that he hires and that he brings on board to do their jobs. And, you know, take Ricky Nolasco. He gave him a bunch of money, and Ricky didn't do his job very well. And I think Ricky would tell you that. And Terry certainly has told Ricky and other people that. And, you know, best laid plans can go awry if guys don't actually perform. So I like what he's done. And I think Terry's a guy who is so respected here that, you know, if Terry, you know, went out and made a bunch of crazy moves, I think people would, even if they recognize how crazy they were, I think they'd almost be like, well, he must know something we don't know. And I think that he has that type of respect. And I think he's really earned that type of respect. And, you know, even to the point where you hear people, and we hear it all the time out on the road, say, well, you know, that they trace back a lot of the problems the Twins have had in the last 4 years to the time Terry was away from the club. And that's not entirely fair, and it's certainly not entirely true. And Terry certainly hasn't been perfect. Nobody really has, but that's almost the feeling you get when you talk to fans.
Yeah, he's a rare bird. And I think, as far as I know, he's the only general manager who will – he'll meet with the media every day if you want to talk to Terry Ryan. He'll meet with you in the lunchroom before the game, every single game during the regular season, which is a rare thing. And there's just a level of accountability there that you don't always get from that position. So that's certainly,
And not even just the accountability. I think there's a level of transparency. Now, Terry's never super forthright. He's not going to be a guy to trumpet how they're doing business or what they're looking for specifically. They're not going to send out press releases about how smart they are with their analytics, and he's not going to blow his own horn, ever. He's not going to tell you who he wants to trade for, but he's certainly going to fully engage you in a conversation about what happened after the trade commences. And I think writers certainly respect that, and I know the players respect that. You know, like a small thing. Even when all the rumors are out there, and in this day and age, you know, with Twitter, it happens instantly, right? An agent or another player or a family friend spills it out about a trade. Terry will not talk about it or confirm it until the player has passed his physical. And the reason he does that is because, God forbid, it gets out there and they say, yeah, we've made the seal, we haven't made the seal. And then something goes weird in physical, you know, that 1 in 100 chance, and it doesn't go through. He never wants to put a player in a situation where now they have to answer questions about that, or where they're embarrassed, or where they feel like, you know, they were misled. And I think players respect that, the way he treats them with that level of respect for them as individuals.
Well, one last thing, Chris, here, and it kind of fits with the physical conversation there. You mentioned you're with Glenn Perkins on this trip. Of course, the way his season ended with the strained right forearm, some nerve irritation. How's he feeling now? He's such a big part of this club. You know, we talk so much about starting pitching upgrades or what that area is going to look like, but you know, the Twins have been fairly steady in the bullpen, and Perkins is obviously a big part of that. So how's he doing?
He's doing great. Yeah, he's full bore. There's no problems. I think when you say strained forearm, which was true, but it was for the third straight year, it was more like strained bullpen, right? Because they just weren't getting the innings from their starters. And
right.
Hopefully Irvin Santana will take a long step in shoring that up. You know, Jared Burton has been let go, and and is off looking for something else. And so there is a question of who's maybe going to be that setup guy in front of them. Casey Steen's done a great job in that role. Tim Stauffer's a guy that they've brought in with the chance to work for, in a variety of roles in that pen. But, you know, with Neil Allen coming on board, again, there's a fresh set of eyes and a fresh way of doing things and a very energetic way of doing things. And, you know, and we'll see how that all winds up. But I think the guy at the back end, there's certainly no questions there.
All right, Chris. Well, thanks again for joining us, and enjoy yourself out there on the caravan. Again, it's taking place over the next couple of weeks. So if you're listening to this, maybe the Twins are coming into your community. But thank you all for
if your
in.
Community is cold, we're probably coming.
Yes. Are you coming to Cleveland then? Because I, you know, we can use a little brightening our day too. So thanks again, Chris, and thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.